Welcome to another Carlin Loads Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Hey, Sean, recently there was a documentary on Channel 2, I think you can still watch it on iView, called Freeman, which was a story about Cathy Freeman, basically about her success in the 2000 Olympics.
It was fabulous, wasn't it? I got home the other night and I missed it on when it was released, but I got home from work the other night and my lovely wife said, you got to sit down and you have to watch the Freeman documentary. It's on iView, and I did. And like that hour went in no time. I was enthralled. That was just a fabulous documentary. And it's interesting because you sort of think you know stuff because we were around, and I was obviously I retired in the 96 and didn't go to 2000, but like you're sort of still watching and involved. But there was so much there that I had actually forgotten. But to see it from that perspective, and I just thought the whole documentary was just done beautifully.
Fabulous. It really was. I mean, it encapsulated so many things about her Aboriginality. It looked at the Stolen Generations. It looked at reconciliation. It looked at politics. It looked at Australian of the Year when she got Australian of the Year, both as a young Australian of the Year, 1998. It shows so many different aspects of the lead-up to the race itself, a bit of her career, her carrying the Aboriginal flag with the Australian flag in, what was that, 94?
94, yeah. Over in Canada, at the Commonwealth Games.
It's interesting to hear some of the criticism she copped over that, but I personally believe that those types of actions by Cathy and others led to the reconciliation.
And that's what the documentary alludes to, and you think – at the time, I mean, Cathy Freeman, I mean, I've met her obviously many times, and I met her as a young kid here in Adelaide. She was here for a pre-departure camp before they went to World Juniors, and she was here's this young, vibrant, funny kid, and she had that smile that we still know is famous, and she was just, she would laugh at things and giggle at things, and she was such a young sort of person. But she just had this real spark about her. And then, of course, in 1990 Commonwealth Games, she went as a 16-year-old and was a member of the gold medal winning team there. And the first Aboriginal athlete to win a gold medal, which that sort of surprised me. I mean, we're so used to Aboriginal athletes being achieving in so many areas. And, of course, then she was always just this – she's always just herself. She was like just funny, and she would giggle, and like at conferences, you know, when people would media stuff talking to her, she's just so honest about her responses. But then to see this other side of her and like understand her childhood, and like she said, she was embarrassed to be Aboriginal. And it was so great to see over that period of time how she embraced being Aboriginal and how she became a leader, not just for people, Aboriginal people, but for all of Australia. And it was at the same time when those people's attitudes were changing. I remember clearly when she ran with both flags, and it just seemed at the time, I thought, wow, that is such a natural, fabulous thing to do because it brings us together. It wasn't, and that's what I think she did so well. I thought of some other athletes like Mundine, for example, like there's been some polarizing athletes, and it seems that Australians don't go well when it's male Aboriginals who are a little bit aggressive, which is something that we've got to get over. Whereas Cathy just did it, all of her stuff. She was such a great athlete and just did it in a disarming way, but made her point.
It wasn't threatening.
No. But that's something that I think we have to deal with. We have to grow up with in our Australian culture, isn't it? But people just embraced Cathy, and I think the way she went about what she did. But those flags coming together, I remember, like in the documentary, it shows Arthur Tunstall, Arthur Tunstall was Arthur Tunstall. I mean, yeah. He had his – obviously he did a lot of good work, but he had his issues and came from another era, didn't he, really? But what Cathy's response was, with all due respect, I don't care. And it's like, that's just her.
You know what I love? The best part in regards to that in the documentary is it showed Arthur Tunstall and what he said, but then it showed like six other people and just ordinary Australians – and they're all backing Cathy.
Exactly, because – and I think what it did was it brought white Australia and Aboriginal Australia together and said, hey, yeah, we are in this together, and we can be together and we can live harmoniously. And it was just seemed to be, as I said, at the time, it just seemed like, wow, what a natural, wonderful thing to do.
You know, the amount of quotes on that show was just fantastic quotes, but my favourite one was – when they put up a text which said basically, change the world 400 metres at a time, yeah. alluding to what Kathy did at the Olympics.
That's right. And obviously she was looked after by Nike, and so Nike are good with their advertising and promotions, and they use some of that stuff really well. And that's what she did do. What I really loved about it was hearing her talk about how she felt. The build up to the Olympics and like walking out in the tunnel, being out in the track and how she was dealing with all of that stuff. It was just amazing that she could articulate it now 20 years later. And it was just wonderful because at the time you think, wow, this is just immense.
What about when she said, as she was coming out of the tunnel, she said, and it felt like electricity in my tips of my fingers and in my head and right through my whole body. And there was no one in the stadium in my head, but then I heard someone say, go, Kathy, and it all came into focus.
Yeah, and so it was just that coming in and out of that focus, like appreciating and enjoying the crowd, and they were all there for her, but at the same time being so focused and having to deal with all of the things she had to deal with, not just winning the race, but all the other things that we know were part of it. I love what she said. It just felt like she was flying, but she said running is like a slipstream that takes you straight into heaven. And it just shows, again, like, you know, when sports people get into that flow, into that what they really love to do, it takes you where you want to go.
You know, one thing they were talking about is the suit she wore for the Olympic
final. Swift suit.
The Swift suit. Now, straight away, you know what I thought of when I was listening to them talk about that? It brought me back to 1983, Australia 2 in the America's Cup with the wing kill. Yeah. It was kind of in that league.
Well, there's been this push for technology, hasn't it? And like, how do you change things like tracks and running shoes? But that Swift suit, it was pretty far out. It was wild looking suit, and obviously, and again, I didn't know much about that. I mean, there was a lot of stuff about the swimsuits back then too. But it was good to see the development behind that and the way they were thinking about doing that and the fact that she chose to run in that. It just seemed to all – you think, why did you do that? But now you realize why. But at the time, now you look at it 20 years later and think, that was all just perfect. It just all seemed to come together. It was perfect that you would wear that suit and run. And in that sense, like she said, she could feel – like the sensation of speed because of the sound, like the air coming through the suit into her ears.
Then you know, obviously it was a race that stopped the nation because that's the way it was perceived at the time. All the Australians were looking forward to it. And it was interesting. She wasn't expected to light the cauldron at at the Olympics, and she did. She'd lit with the torch. Even her mother wasn't aware.
Well, that's right. I was surprised. I thought they would have known, but her mum's like, is that Kathy? And you think that all those little things that they showed, like that you just didn't, I wasn't aware of. I don't know if anyone was. As you said, you didn't know either. But you think, and that was just a perfect moment. Again, at the time, I remember, oh, wow. Because you thought, I mean, it's always, who's going to light the torch, isn't it?
Did you like her mum's comment? All I was thinking about is I hope she wasn't going to get burnt.
I know, because that torch was, and that just brought back, that was spectacular, wasn't it?
It was
really spectacular.
Now, look at the lead-in. Obviously, it showed a bit of her junior career, success at the Commonwealth Games, et cetera, et cetera. But from 1996, when she came second to Murray Jo Perrick at the Olympics at Atlanta, she competed in 42 races between the two Olympic 400 metres. She won 41 of them. The only one she lost was when she was injured in the race. And the interesting thing was that Perrick was out of – she was injured and wasn't racing much at all. And she came back and qualified for the Olympics. And it was interesting first off to hear Kathy talk about describing the media as a beast.
A beast.
And she was at peace with it. Yet Perrick was the opposite. She was saying that Kathy didn't have to face – the media the way, you know, she had to. And it was a little bit over the top with Perrick, the way she copped it. But being the experienced athlete she is, I would have expected her to sort of like, you know, just get on with the job. And I think she was a real champion and well-respected by Kathy Freeman, was one of Kathy's heroes. But I think Perrick decided that she wasn't going to win the race and thought, well, she didn't want to tarnish her record, her reputation.
It was interesting, wasn't it? And I'd forgotten all that.
Yes,
that
was right.
And really, I thought, hang on, yeah, that's right. And I've got to be honest, after I retired at end of 96, 97, and I really wanted to go to Sydney, I was a little bit, for that sort of period of time, I didn't really embrace the Sydney Olympics as much as I probably would have looking back, because I was still that sort of bit, oh, I wish I could have been there. But I'd forgotten that. But it's interesting, I really enjoyed the way they contrasted their careers, because Perec had been dominant from say 92 to 96 for that 4 years, and she'd been similar. She'd been unbeaten, and she'd won all the world championships, the Olympics. She won the 200 and 400 in 96. Then got sick and injured, and Kathy was obviously getting closer and closer and got second to her in Atlanta. And then, of course, with her out of the way, Kathy went on her, as you said, her unbeatable streak. And so when Perec was coming back, it was obviously billed. It was like, it's such a title fight, isn't it? And I think you're right. And interesting, you think, oh, yes, the Beast and Freeman. Kathy did have all of that impact. But I think just the way she is, she just dealt with things so seemingly innocently and just would get on with it. Whereas I think Perec probably didn't understand the pressure she had on her as an Australian and the impact that must have had on her. And of course, yeah, I remember now all those come flooding back. She just disappeared in the middle of the night.
I mean, how much more pressure can Kathy have on her than to know she had all the hopes of the nation on her back? She gives us hope, was what the media were saying about her. And, you know, the actual, in a sporting context and the social justice context, they talk about that a lot. So that was a lot of pressure on Kathy.
Oh, it was massive amounts of pressure on a young lady. And she just came through in flying colours. It was interesting, though, wasn't it? At the end, she was disappointed with her time. And that's hard for people to get their head around.
49.11.
She ran like nearly 49 flat. And Peter Fortune, who was her coach for most of her career, especially like after her initial sort of junior stuff, what'd she say? Forts, do you reckon it was a bit slow? And you think, wow, like you've just, what a look at what you've just done, and surrounded by hundreds of thousands of screaming people.
There was something said there after the race about Kathy has waited 4 years. Australia has waited since 1964 for this type of female athlete winning, but the Aboriginals, the Indigenous generations have waited forever for this. And it was good in context to talk about that. It was important for Kathy, it was important for Australian women, and it was important for the Aboriginal race. In a nutshell, that really says it all.
Well, that's what I loved about the documentary, how it sort of tied all of these different ideas together, and they ran parallel throughout the documentary. But whoever made that document, I thought, just did it perfectly.
Oh, absolutely. What about the race, the way they dissected the race, especially the last 120 metres, and they kept going back to it. And you know, with 120 metres to go, she was in third place, and there was all this worry, warts and everything, you know, what's going to happen? And then they're saying that quite possibly her last 100 metres was probably the fastest ever in a 400-metre race like that, which is, when you think about it, probably was, because she comes streaming.
And she could run, couldn't she? And that was like, I was looking at their records to put them side by side. And so, because Perec was one of the best ever, and so like 100-metre times, 11.24 for Kathy to 10.96 for Perec. 200 metres, 21.99 was Perec's quickest, 22.25 was Kathy's, and 400, 48.25 was Perec's, which I believe now is the fourth fastest time ever. And Kathy Freeman's best was 48.63. So two, you know, obviously world-class runners. And it was, and what I loved about, you know, when they showed, like she said, these girls have got no chance because they're up against all of my ancestors.
Yeah.
And the way they showed that in the documentary, like with the powder floating through the air and the women dancing, and it was just like, oh, that really brought sort of, I think, wow, that's fabulous.
What about when she's talking about the, you know, about time and how you view time, and she was saying it was like a series of being in the moment as she was running the race, rather than a time sequence. It was more about a series of being in the moment. So how special would have that been for her to recall it in that way?
Yeah, and like, because that's what athletes want. They want to be, we talk about the zone or in the flow, and obviously, and that doesn't always happen because when there's so many things, and I thought this is a great thing for young people to watch because people talk about dealing with pressure, dealing with stress, all those things going on in life. But hey, if there's a person who dealt with all of that and got into the zone, stayed in that flow and did something very, very special.
Absolutely. And just to finish off with, the thing I liked near the end was when one of the commentators said, it's a gift. She leaves us all with a gift. And what better way to end this Card Only Sports Show? I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.